I had the great fortune to start my Advent on a silent retreat earlier this week. It was very short, but kind of silent, but that's okay. It was good to begin this time of waiting with something that was outside of my regular routine. And as I sat in their noonday Eucharist, the way that they did their prayers of the people is that you would just pray what was on your heart, whether it was for healing or guidance or for someone who died, whatever it may be. And as I sat there with my head bowed, I heard someone pray that we not be so lured by the razzle and dazzle of Christmas with all of its trappings, even though, as this person prayed and admitted, that he loved all of that razzle dazzle so much. But he continued that we not forget about why we have Advent, that we not forget about Jesus, the birth of the Christ child, God incarnate, coming into the world. And in the middle of the prayer, it so spoke to me, I peeked my eye open. I felt like I was like five and doing something very badly behaved. I peeked my eye open and I looked around for who was praying this prayer. And it was this little wizened monk. And I just love the idea that this monk in a monastery, totally removed, where there is no Wi-Fi and no cell service, loved the trappings of Christmas so much, and that even he struggled to keep God at the center of everything at this time of year. And I loved it because I think many of us, if not most of us, have this same struggle. There is all of the Christmas stuff. Yay! And then there's our faith journey. And then I go, oh, look at all the dazzling stuff. And I appreciate it because as I was entering into Advent, as all of us enter into Advent, we know that it is this time that is rich. It is rich with expectation and wilderness and proclamation and prophecy. There are so many on-ramps that we can take to deepen our spiritual relationship with God throughout this season. And while we all know as good Christians, we are supposed to work on our relationship with God all year round, and yet I will say there are seasons such as Advent that help reorient us back to what is important, which is, in the end, not all the trappings of Christmas, though we love them so, but rather to focus on God incarnate, God coming to us, breaking into our world for our salvation. Our gospel readings, these 4 weeks of Advent, all come from the Gospel of Luke. And last week we started with the apocryphal end of the Gospel of Luke. Great job, Michelle, preaching such a thing to a congregation you barely know. Always great to talk about the end of the world with people who don't know you as well. And then this week and next, we hear of and from John the Baptist. And then on the last week of Advent, when we are just on the cusp of Christmas Eve, we hear the story of the angel coming to Mary. But this week and next, right in the middle, we are rooted in the here and the now of the moment, so to speak. Not the end times we heard about last week when Jesus will come again. Not the promise that will be given to Mary that she will bear a son. Today's reading is rooted in an historical moment. The moment when Jesus is going to enter into public life as an adult and begin his ministry. So essentially, we get a history lesson today, a listing of rulers, Tiberius and Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas and Annas, many of those names that we'll hear again as we enter into Holy Week and begin to move towards the crucifixion. But today's history lesson reminds us that Jesus, a real person, came at a real time in history, to a real place, born of a real woman, to us, real people. The naming of these rulers who are so important and not so beloved in the Jewish community, some of them, but the naming of these rulers serve as a counter to God's reign and God's presence and God's salvation in the world. Yes, Tiberius may be emperor, Pontius Pilate may be the governor of Jerusalem, yet they are only that for this moment in time. The counterpoint that the writer of the Gospel of Luke has set up by listing these current day rulers is to show that God's reign is not just for that moment in time, but God's reign is eternal. And not only that, these rulers may be important and have great power, but none has power greater than our God. No human ruler can compare. God's salvation and presence continue regardless of the passage of time, or the passage of rulers, or even the passage of our humanity. While this historical list of rulers roots us in a specific place and time, God's coming is rooted beyond time. God's presence continues with us throughout all time, right up until now. And it continues for all of eternity. God's presence, God's salvation, as we say almost every week in our Eucharistic prayer, God was and is to come. And that, my friends, is a truth that we can count on even more than our inboxes filling up with Black Friday deals or singing Silent Night at St. Cross on Christmas Eve. Though we love those both. No matter if Jesus is speaking to the Jewish population living under Roman occupation, or if Jesus is speaking to us now through the stories that we read in our scripture, no matter the difficulty of the period of history that any of us at any time may find ourselves in, God is with us. And God continues to redeem our world and our lives and even our history. So the question remains, how do we remain rooted in God's eternal redemption in the midst of the tinsel? Does anybody even have tinsel anymore? But we still talk about it, still in all the songs. But the tinsel and the Christmas songs and the parties and the shopping and the giving tree and all those things that we love, how do we keep God's presence rooted in our hearts first and foremost, as we enjoy the razzle and dazzle that is before us? Keeping God our focus takes intention. It takes us breaking out of being satisfied with the season simply as our culture demands it. It takes us claiming our Christianity and choosing to live our lives with a different main focus. And as I was sitting in this monastery, contemplating the beginning of Advent and God in my heart, I read a poem by Jan Richardson from her Advent book, Night Visions. Perhaps you picked it up 1 year off of the Advent table yourself. And this poem has been serving as a reminder for me as I go about enjoying every moment of this Advent season, and yet reminding myself to see God's redemption in the midst of it all. And here is her poem. Forgive us, God, when we live our lives within the lines. When we say, this is the shape of our work. This is the bound of our habitation. These are the limits to our love. These are the lines of our vision. These and none other. Draw us beyond our pattern into yours. Shifting, moving, curving, spiraling, many-colored, ever-changing, stretching, pushing, challenging, renaming, unsettling, disturbing, casting forth, and welcoming home. Amen.